Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did because our good buddy Joel Barker is back with us. Joel is a man that I was telling you about before I knew him. I was talking to you about the work that he did, has done in his life that impressed me, that made a difference, and I've been talking about that for a long time. He's the guy who introduced me to the concept of paradigm shifts. He's the author of Future Edge. Also, the new book is called Five Regions of the Future. He's also an outstanding filmmaker. He's got a new film out that we'll get him to remind us about in just a little bit. But let's get him in here because we don't want to miss a second with him. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Joel,
you're the guy that when I read your book on paradigms, when I saw your video on paradigms and the concept, and you introduced me and zillions of other people to the concept of not just paradigms, because a lot of people knew what that word was and what it meant, but the concept of paradigm shifting.
Yeah.
And this is where, as you've taught us, where things that you knew, things that you once knew and loved and held dear, basically went back to zero. Everything went back to zero, and you start all over again as if you never had that. Joel, I've never in my life, in my long life, and I've been through a lot of stuff. You know, this is my seventh recession. Two others were pretty bad ones.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many paradigm shifts in a 12-month period in my life. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what's going on. We are at a transformational time, and the games we played in the 20th century are now going away, and they're going away rapidly. By the way, the book the book is called Paradigms, the Business of Discovering the Future. Now, that's the one that's in print if somebody wants to pick it up. If you think about the whole sense of a almost deregulated securities market, now it's going to get regulated in very different ways. All new rules, new boundaries, that's a definition of a paradigm.
New players, the old players are gone.
Exactly. New players playing the new rules, and it's a new game. Healthcare, new game. Transportation, new game. How we deal with energy in the world. This is the biggest paradigm shift we're going through right now. And the good news is we've got lots of stuff rolling out to replace what we had before. But right now it looks small because of the scale difference. But just remember, it only took America about 15 years to go from a no-railroad country to a transcontinental railroad.
Right.
And when we got
serious
about it, it happened fast. Same thing with telephones, same thing with Internet. We can do the same thing with energy.
One of the things that concerns there are kind of two kinds of paradigm shifts, aren't there, Joel? Aren't there the natural kind, the kind that happen as a natural course of events, and then those that are manufactured? Is that a fair way to say it? I've never heard you talk about that before.
Yeah.
So am I wrong?
Yeah, kind of, because the way it works is new paradigms show up when the old paradigms stop solving the crucial problems.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is have a situation where you have problems and you're saying, we can't solve these anymore. That is, in fact, the triggering mechanism where somebody says, hey, I've got this idea. Now, it doesn't look at all like what we did before, but it will solve those problems you want to solve.
But
so
what about when politics gets
in the sense.
What about when politics gets involved in paradigms, in shifting paradigms? I worry about those. I'm afraid of politicians shifting paradigms.
Well, politicians really don't. They set up the opportunity to do it. And healthcare is a great example of that. Yesterday, the mayor of San Francisco was being interviewed, and I thought, oh, my God, here is the paradigm shift. Because he said, we understand you have a new healthcare insurance in San Francisco. He says, no, absolutely wrong. He said, we had to give up on the idea of health insurance. Instead of what we're doing in San Francisco is creating access to health care, and that is a whole lot cheaper then health insurance. And I thought, okay, there's the boundaries. There's
but when
the
I hear
switch.
That, though, when I hear that, that sounds like socialism replacing capitalism.
Not at all.
Okay, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you can hire a whole bunch of doctors who run a private clinic, but you say, we want you to set up clinics in these neighborhoods. We will help, you know, we'll underwrite the cost of that building so that you can, in fact, charge less and still make a decent living. But what we're going to do is create easy access. And then those people who want the access can go get it. If you do insurance, you insure everybody who needs it or not.
Right.
So this is what they're doing in San. And he said we got plenty of money to do this.
Well, see, that's what I like about health savings accounts. Health savings accounts do the same thing, but I wind up with the money instead of the government winding up with the money.
Well,
that's the part
really.
I like. Hold on to that.
So
hold on to that thought,
that.
Joe.
We're
going to talk about this some more. I told you we'd have fun when Joe Barker joined us. 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Little Drifters bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. We booked it for you. No barriers to entry. Be sure to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog. You can listen. You can read. You got 5 seconds. You got 15 minutes. We got something on in between both of those. You can read or listen to everything under the small business sun. Whatever's on your mind, whatever challenge or opportunity that you've got in front of you, we can help you with that, I think. So check it out. You'll find all of our Brain Trust members there, including our good friend Joel Barker, who's with us right now, the author of Future Edge, your new film, I should say. Joel, remind the audience about it, please.
It's Innovation at the Verge, and it talks about a new way to go at innovation that is much cheaper than the standard route and much quicker to bring to market. And, in fact, I just found a new example. Nike took the concept of suspension bridges and applied it to their new shoe design.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And, by the way, it fills one of the rules I give is sometimes you have to change the scale on one side of the verge in order to make it work in combination. So you have miniature suspension bridges on your Nike shoes now. Makes them much lighter, much stronger, and they still perform the same function.
What are we going to do with is the next 20 years going to be as exciting from an innovation standpoint as the last 20 years?
Oh, Lord, much more. Much more. Think of all the stimulus. We were just going through that list.
Moore's Law is going to keep compounding, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. In fact, every time they think they get close, they find another route, and they've got the new nanotube breakthrough. You know, nanotubes are going everywhere now.
Remind the audience what a nanotube is.
A nanotube is a teeny, teeny, teeny little carbon tube that's made up. It's almost a perfect form of carbon atoms linked perfectly, and they do all sorts of things like help convert fuel into hydrogen and help get rid of pollution, and now it looks like they can perform some of the key components of semiconducting chips, except at a much smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
So the next 20 years, if we get through the next two thoughtfully, by the way. So we've got some short-term stuff we've got to take care of, but if we do, it's just breathtaking what's going to be in front of us the next 20 years.
Yeah, and not only in innovational things that we can use, innovative things that we can use, but also medicine.
Yeah,
about things like
everything.
That. But
nothing is immune.
You've been talking about one of the things I know you want to talk about today were some things that involving some new innovations. One of them was concrete. Some new things were concrete.
Yeah. And by the way, we get the scale issue is really important. Sometimes ideas are big, some are small. This is a medium sized one, but a company called Polycon in Madison, Wisconsin, has developed stuff they call E-crete, and it's basically part concrete, part polymer that you put over asphalt, and it extends the life of the asphalt 10 years while filling
in all the
bumps and crevices.
Could it be used to repair, or is it applied when the asphalt's new?
No, it smooths out the asphalt.
It repairs the old asphalt.
It repairs it and then extends its life, and because it can be light color, it'll also reflect light sunlight, therefore infrared. So it's actually a cooling medium. Think about all the black asphalt we have around the world.
Yep.
Now extend the life 10 years with this coating and reduce the heat buildup on the planet at the same time.
How about that?
And what I love about it is it's a cool, no pun intended, solution to about five problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are some other things?
Well, one of the other things that for me, this one, this is a big one. MIT has just announced that they have developed a liquid battery. Now, that in itself is kind
of
interesting.
Liquid battery.
A liquid battery using molten metals. So the metals are the conductors, but they're liquid. Now, here's why that's important. It can absorb 10 times more electricity in this battery, you know, like per pound than any other battery ever designed.
How do they keep it molten? I mean, mercury's the only metal that's
Well, it's an interest. My guess is they must do it with heat, I've sent you a reference so people can read the extended details. It's on the web, but I want to tell you the thing that's important about it. It charges very rapidly.
Hmm.
Holds the charge beautifully. Enormous amounts of power can be contained in this thing. And what the inventor has said is we are literally looking at a battery structure, you know, technology, capable of storing all the electricity that runs around the grid.
I'm going to predict that the next innovation there is going to be a medium besides molten metal.
Well, think about this. The reason the molten metal is so good is because you can use it, you can recycle it, it never wears out. See, whereas with lead acid,
Of course, it depends. If we're talking about molten metal the size of a shoebox, that's not too bad. But if it's got to be a truckload, that's another story, isn't it?
Well, it depends on where you put it. See, if you're a utility, you don't mind that it's big because you deal with big stuff. See, but now think about this. Solar power.
I was thinking about in your car.
Yeah, no. This is for storage.
This is industrial use. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And think about grid use. So here's your solar energy producing all that electricity during the day. Actually, too much. You don't care because you put it in the battery.
Yep.
Here are your windmills blowing in the middle of the night.
This is the replacement for those round rocks that they put in the ground to store the solar energy, isn't it?
Exactly. And much better, much more efficient. Anywhere you have intermittent supplies where you have more than you need, you pour it into the batteries. So
this is very interesting.
It's a big deal.
That's very exciting. And this is marketplace stuff too, folks. This is what I like about it. These are marketplace innovators doing this. Tin Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Joel Barker is our guest. His new book is called Future Edge. Stay with us. I'm sorry, the new book is Five Regions of the Future. That's the new one. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joel Barker. And his book is called Five Regions of the Future. The one that I met him through, the first book when I started reading Joel's stuff close to 20 years ago, is now called Paradigms, the Business of, what's the rest of the name?
Discovering the Future, the Business of Discovering the Future.
Yeah, Paradigms, the Business of Discovering the Future. And folks, that's the one where he talks about paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
And that's still available out there in paperback. Five Regions of the Future is the new book, and the new film is
Innovation at the Verge.
Innovation at the Verge, and that's available. They can go find out more about all that where, Joel?
They can go to starthrower.com and watch it just to see what it's like.
Starthrower.com.
And they can also go to my website, which is joelbarker.com. And right up by my picture, there are actually three things I invite them to look at. One is that there's a click directly to the film. There's also a click to my new blog, which is Good News About the Future, written for parents to share with their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is, remember we talked about Mondragon?
Right.
I put my Peter Drucker article on the site, so if anybody wants to read
about that. That's a good one, too, by the way, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out.
Are at the website.
Joel, one of the things, folks, Joel was just talking to us about some new innovations. innovations in energy storage, innovations in lengthening the life of asphalt.
Right.
Why, you know, what, there are two reasons why I want Joel to talk to us about these things. Number one, to tell us what's coming at us from the future, so you and I can you know, we'll benefit from those things. But if you're in the asphalt business, if you're in the 20th century storage of energy business,
yep,
these are things that are going to shift your paradigm, and you need to know about them. And there are, and everybody, Joel, regardless of what you do, whether it's shoestrings or battleships, everybody has a paradigm shift in their future, don't they?
Yes. Because of just what we're doing in materials alone, everybody's got a paradigm shift in front of them, because you're gonna make your cars out of carbon fiber, right? You're gonna,
right.
I mean,
if they can make jet fighters out of carbon, they can,
yep,
make your car out of carbon.
Yeah, and by the way, making your car out of carbon sequesters carbon and keeps it out of the atmosphere, so it's a good
deal. So if you're in the steel business, that's not good, is
yeah,
it?
If you're in the steel business, you want to learn about the carbon fiber business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's, and by the way, it'll be fundamentally different, but the question is, do you want to supply material to the auto industry? If you do, you want to learn about carbon fibers.
And if you're in the automobile repair business, you better be sending some young person to learn about carbon fiber.
Absolutely, because the dented fenders and the broken stuff is going to come in, and you're going to have to learn to deal,
yeah,
with that.
Exactly. What are some other new things you've been seeing?
Well, you know, there's another thing I wanted to talk about, because it goes a very different direction, but it's a very interesting discussion. Okay, it was in my New Scientist publication in December. It's called Brain Boosters, and there are a series of discussions started now between psychiatrists and neuroscientists about kids taking chemicals to make themselves smarter in college. Ritalin is one example of that.
What?
Kids take drugs so they
take Ritalin to be smarter in college?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So here's the thing. The question is, what are the long-term implications,
right,
of people taking IQ-boosting drugs? And I think that is a huge question. By the way, the way they're comparing it is, oh, it's just like caffeine charged,
yeah,
up.
Wow.
I think it's different.
It sounds dangerous to me.
Well, what are the ethics behind,
yeah,
that?
Yes.
My child, I don't want my child to take that, okay?
Right. Well, it's the same thing as the sports drug thing.
Except it's IQ.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? And the guy, the person who's writing about this, by the way, and I give a reference that you can put on your site. I sent you some references.
Right.
The guy says, well, it's different than that, because steroids are bad for you. This is good for you. It's an enhancer. And I thought, well, that's what people thought about steroids, too.
Sounds unnatural to me.
Yeah, the scary thing is, it's one of these, it's the classic, the battle back and forth.
Is this happening a lot?
Yeah, it's showing up in colleges in particular right now, but they're talking about moving it down and moving it up, that adults could do it. And
so you're talking about people are starting to see this as an acceptable behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly
right. Not as aberrant.
No, this is starting to be discussed as,
wow,
why shouldn't I have a higher IQ? I drink caffeine.
Right.
I'm smarter. I'm more awake. I'm more alert.
The old justification game.
Yeah, yeah, here we go. But yeah. I think that's a question that, yeah, really needs to be addressed.
Well, this is all part of, this is another thing that we've got to have a debate on in this new century, Joel, is the whole concept of ethics. And maybe that's,
yep,
a topic that you and I can talk about next time. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
My pleasure. Good talk.
Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen, joelbarker.com and then starthrower.com. Be sure to check that out, too. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.